Hi there, this is Jacob Msipa, the senior pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
We can't close this thing without touching on church connections, because they are very critical. As a matter of fact, they can make or break your walk with God. They can determine whether you are going to survive as a Christian and be effective and be fruitful the way that God wants you to be fruitful. I've been around the church space for over 20 years. At least that counts for experience. I was saying jokingly yesterday, Gwamduguza, and saying to them, for a long time I was referred to as a young pastor, you know, a pastor for young people, or whatever, for a long time. Yeah, young lion. And I'm over 40 years now. Somehow I'm still seen as a young pastor. I even have white beard, nyana, white hair. But I'm still young in as far as the church is concerned. So sometimes I need to throw in these years and say I've been a pastor for 20 years. Just so that, you know, they can say, no, there's some, you know, experience in it. Of course, I'm not a grandfather yet or something like that, but there must be something, yeah, at least in Obabushandu, you know, in Bashim Shopenyana, you know. So something must give, amen. So I've been around the church space for more than 20 years. I've seen things. I've seen people come and go. I've seen people, you know, their lives being changed. But I've also seen people, their lives being crushed and destroyed by church. But I'm going to show you in the moment that it's not necessarily church, in a sense of church as an institution. But it's actually people you connect with and how you connect with them. Some connections are good. Some connections are not good. Don't be so serious. Let's go to this book of, it's my favorite chapter, chapter 15, the book of Psalms, chapter 15. I'm not sure whether did I disconnect Healy or what happened. Let's leave it because it's going to get me in ton. Amahubo 15, somebody. Okay, Psalm 15 from verse 1. Lord, David says, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? It's almost like David was not just asking for himself. He was asking even on behalf of us who are part of the New Testament church. It's almost like he wanted to find out who can survive, who can last in this space called church. Who? I don't know what was going on in the mind of David, but if it was today, I was going to perhaps suspect Uti. Probably he was saying, in this space that is so complicated, that is so tricky, that is so promising from the outside, that is supposed to be a great space, and I'm just going to bring it, Gahle Bazalwane, and I hope that you will hear my heart more than anything else. Probably he was going to make observations and look at Builders Church and everything that is happening within and looking at, let me not mention other churches, but let me just talk about Builders Church. And probably then David stood before God and said, but who can be a member in this church and last and abide and dwell? To a point that later on, he changes his heart in Psalm 23. When he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he says, I will dwell. in the house of the Lord forever. Same David says, Gachabula lapho bethi kimi masiye endlini kaJehova. Same David says, I would rather be a doorkeeper. And he says, better is one day in your house than 1,000 elsewhere. In other words, there must be something impendulo uNkulunkulu amnika yona made him change his tune. But at this point, he was wondering. Like the disciples, when Jesus was saying, it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. But ama disciples, who then can be saved? Mina, that question was saying to me, it's almost like they were saying to Jesus, but you know how rich we are. We have things. But if you say something like that, then who can go through? Who can enter? Because silapho kuleso simo okhuluba ngaso. And he had to break it down and put it into perspective. So David here probably, he was also in the same space to say, hey, now I became part of this place. I'm this man who loves you. But hey, good trick. Good ref. And who can survive? And then he says, God's response to him, verse 2, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach against his friend. Everyone in English, Injan. Nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. So the sound makes a huge difference. Eh? Okay. All right. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money to usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things, take note, shall never be moved. He who does these things shall never be moved. And my question is, how come we get moved? How come? Let's get into it. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. Speak to us. We are your children. We are your people. Always shaped by you. Always built by you. And we appreciate you, God, building us. We appreciate you talking to us as your children so that we can become better and have a good and a healthy relationship with you, with your people, and so that we can reach our destinies in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, let's start here, Bazalwane. Let's start here. When you and I declare our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are then saved. We are born again. And that's where we all begin, hopefully. That when we develop that interest to become part of the Christian community or community. I'm just rehearsing, you know. I will be hosting Americans from next week. So when we develop that interest to become part of the Christian community, then God directs us to Jesus as the head of the church so that we can start by declaring our faith in him, because he says he is the door, he is the gate through which we can enter. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm the gate. And when we declare our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we are saved and we are born again, here's what the Bible tells us God then does. And that's according to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse 47. It says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So in other words, there is no way that you can be a Christian and you don't have to belong to a local church. And I love it that God left us this verse to show us that it was his intention for every person who gets saved to be added to a church, to be part of a church. It is never God's intention for anyone not to belong to a church, to be born again and to roam around. These days, we believe in all sorts of things that we can be Christians and still get away with not belonging to a church or a local church for that matter. It's not biblical. It's not godly. It is not God's will for our lives. That's why the Bible says he added those who were being saved to a church. He was the one who added them. In other words, the next step after I get saved is that God says you must belong to a body called the church. It's a place for Christians, those who are saved, those who are believers. We must belong. It's not optional. It's not optional. It's not by choice. It is what God has ordained and established. And we must do it because it is his will. There is no way, Barcelona, that you can be a Christian and not need the role of a local church in your life. There's no way. There is no way. And maybe some other time we're going to get into details as to what is it that we benefit from that whole entire experience. God adds us to a local church, but not only that, the Bible also describes us as those who are saved, those who are believers, as trees of righteousness. According to Isaiah 61, we know when Jesus came, and this is something that he declared in the book of Luke in the New Testament. It was prophesied by Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, heal the brokenhearted, open up the blinded eyes." And then he wraps it up by saying, "So that they may become the trees of righteousness." So you and I, not as Christians, God looks at us as the trees of righteousness. But because we are trees, then God plants us in his church. He plants us. Can you imagine if you are a tree and you are not planted? If you are a tree and you are just placed outside, let's maybe do this exercise. Go and buy a tree and not plant it, and just put it in your backyard somewhere, or in your kitchen, or in your lounge or something. Just keep it for 2 weeks. Let's just see what happens. So this is the reason why then God sees us as trees of righteousness. Then when he adds us to his church, he plants us so that we can have root in that place, in his garden that is called the church. When Paul was referring to the church in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he said, "You are God's building." But again, he said, "You are God's garden. You are God's garden." And it's no coincidence, because you can ask yourself, why was Adam placed in a garden? To tend and to keep it. And there were rivers that were flowing in that garden. Are we here, Barcelona? Now, Psalm 92 and verse number 13 says, "Those who are planted," not those who are placed, not those who hang around, but those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, or flourish, in the courts of our God. To cut the long story short, that talks about how when we are planted, it is supposed to impact our lives so that we can increase, so that we can expand, so that we can prosper, so that we can experience everything that God is pouring out into that church. And I always advise Christians that do not waste the reason and the purpose why God brought you to a particular church. Because when God takes care of plants, trees, he does not necessarily... Let me put it this way. Trees do not survive on the water that falls upon the tree itself. Yeah. They survive on the water that falls on the ground. In other words, when the rain comes, it comes to water the ground. Yeah.
And it depends on what kind of ground are you planted on. There are certain types of soils that are not good for plants. And when you plant it there, it will die. Planted it is, but it will die. And when you are planted on good ground, then God waters the ground. He waters the ground. The river flows in the ground. For as long as the ground is nurtured, and for as long as you are planted on that ground, you are going to draw nutrients from the ground. You are going to draw nutrients from that soil. You are going to survive and thrive and flourish in life out of the soil you are planted in. And that's why you must not waste your time in a local church. Don't just say, I am hanging around, I want to see what's going on, because you are going to miss out. Because you can never benefit from the nutrients of that particular soil unless you are planted. Unless you are rooted, unless you are grounded. You see, when you are a member, be a member. Don't just get your ankles wet. Get your waist wet. Get your whole body wet. Just jump in with every, just be submerged and be immersed. And just tell yourself, because number one, it is the will of God. There's no any other way. There's no plan B to it. God does not say, I will either plant you in a church or maybe give you an opportunity to just, you know, grow at home. It does not happen like that. It is the will of God. So when you make that decision to say, I'm going to be in a church, make sure that you are planted and you are grounded so that you can benefit from it. Let me move on so that, you know, we get to the most juicy part. In Psalm 52 verse 8, again, the Bible says, but I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. We know that olives produce the oil. They produce the anointing. And he says, I'm that green olive tree. The color green, the Bible speaks about life. In other words, I survive. I am blessed. I am anointed because of where I am planted. And it says, I trust in the mercy of the God forever and ever. Look, let me just help you with this. No matter how hurt you are by whatever that has happened in your past, in as far as church is concerned, make sure that by the time you decide to belong to a local church, you are not going to be too careful. Trust God for where you are at the moment. Trust Him. Trust Him. Say just, God, I trust you that you brought me here for a reason. And I'm willing to take a risk to be hurt again. I said, did I preach this in Benoni? I said, when the Bible says choose your friends wisely, which means choose your connections wisely, it includes church. Choose your church wisely. Don't be careless about choosing a church. Look, don't be careless with choosing a church. That's a very deep decision to make. It's a covenant decision that you are making. You are opening yourself up. You are opening yourself up to whatever it is that is happening in that space. I made this example. The Bible says to us who are preachers, we must not be too quick to lay hands on people. It says so. The reason is so that, it says, lest we partake of their sins. So in other words, and I want you to get this. If I'm the one laying hands, what does that mean? I'm the one who is supposed to be anointed more powerful because I have something that I want to give to Tando. I'm stronger than him in this. But then the Bible warns me and says, I must not rush lest he affects me. I'm stronger than me at that moment. Now, let's flip it and say this. If it happens, if it says I must be careful and I must not be too quick to lay hands, then it simply means he must also be careful not to allow anyone to lay hands on him. Because such as I have, give I unto you. So if you say to me, Mfundisi, ngikhulekele, listen, my friend, impartation does not ask for permission.
whatever I carry will come on you. You will walk away with lust that you did not know where it came from. But hey, we are careless as Christians. We listen, my friend, let me tell you this. You must be very jealous with your spiritual life. You must be very careful with your spiritual life. You must understand that your spiritual life matters. It will affect your family, your life, your relationships, your job, your career, your business, your future, your destiny, everything. Simply because of one crazy man who decided to say he is called and he did not take his calling serious and involved himself in all sorts of things and he brought that with into the space that is that Barcelona. It's a very scary job to be a pastor. That's why God even says to us, we are going to one day account for everything that we taught. God will one day ask me, uitate blendo wa uchela. That's why I love the word of God. I preach the word because I don't want to be in trouble. I stay within the confines of the word because I don't want to have to answer to God. Manje mhlobo wami, leyanto empahle yamakhandlela bosokhuluma ngayo. Where did you get that one from? How am I going to explain unless it's in the word? If it's in the word, I'll say, God, it's here. You wrote it. You said every scripture is inspired by your spirit. So I got it here. But once I become innovative, you have to kiss my ring. You have to do all sorts of things. Hey, Shandai, Heli Basuya, Hasele Maha. Hey. Because things are happening out there. So it's a very critical decision that you must make. Because once you are there, once you've decided, you filled in the form, you said, I'm a member here, it's too late to be careful. It's too late to be careful. In fact, you might lose out on the benefits. Just not now that you don't have a church, but because I'm now here. You shouldn't have come if you were not yet satisfied with whether or not you trust this guy, Obuya Delmas, who said he's called by God. If you have reservations, don't sign yet. I say, let me just see. Yeah. What sort of scandal does he have? Has he repented? How does he treat his wife? How does he treat his children? How does he carry himself? Is he a man of integrity? Does he mean what he say? Hey. Don't just stay. Because you love the vibe. The vibe. Jesus. You know, Tabila, I thought I was now delivered from this Questa thing, but now... No, Bazaran. I've changed the hairstyle. Another lady yesterday asked me, don't people tell you you look like Questa? I'm like, come on, man. I even have white beard. I'm older than him. I must just, have Chiscop once. Just get it over and done with and join Tando. my wife can freak out. To be honest, Bazaran, I'm only keeping this hairstyle because of my wife. Yeah. My kids will murder me. If I show up with a cheese cup, my wife will be the leader. Yeah. No, they love it for me. I don't know why, but well. Anyway. The reason why you have got to make that decision and be sure about it is because then church... One thing that church will do, it will introduce you to people. Let's be honest. There are people you did not know until you came to build this church. And you found yourself developing a relationship with those people. You started connecting with those people. And let me tell you this, that is also the will of God. You can't be in a local church and isolate yourself. The Bible says four things happened when the church was started. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrines. Number two, they fellowshipped with one another. In other words, they connected. When we're in a church, fellowship, connecting, relating, building relationships is part of it. If you don't do that, it will have an impact in your walk with God. Why am I saying that? Because you are not fully doing the will of God. You are there because there's a reason why God sends you to a church. He also wants you to serve. He also wants you to be nurtured, to be. He exposes you to that space. So that's why I am saying, if you still want to be careful after you said you want to be a member, Pastor, pray for me now, because my problem in this pastoring thing, I love the truth too much. And to be honest with you, sometimes after preaching, I'm saying, Lord, but why don't you give me just a nice anyana word that will make people stand up and clap hands and be like, oh, we receive, men of God, we receive. You know, now there's tension in this room. I'm like, Lord, please help me to be nice and say, receive your breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Take it one, take it two. Oh, fire, stand up. Bring him here. Out of them. How many are you? Who are you? Where do you come from? Oh, your address is 813 Villagers Street. Tell me, say. Right. So church introduces us to people. Number one, what do we do? We devote ourselves to the apostles' doctrine, what we are taught in the house. Two, we fellowship with one another. We connect, we develop relationships. It does not mean we are going to be best friends. We are going to come to that just now. Now, and then number three says, then they shared meals together. Right? They moved from house, broke bread together. That's why part of maturing as a Christian is being able to be hospitable. Four, then praying together. Those are the four things that determined the strength of the church or the identity of the church. You cannot identify yourself as a church or as a church member if those four things are not active in your life. You can't just say, no, I'm attending a service. Attending a service is not fellowship. Maktiwa amen, then you are gone. Maktiwa hallelujah, we are well. That's not being a Christian. If anything, it's pride. And sometimes it comes from a place of being previously wounded. So now I'm trying to protect myself. No. There is a better way of protecting yourself, and I'm about to take you through it just now. There's a better way of protecting yourself than to avoid interacting with God's people. Bazalwane, asinuki. You know, do you know the pain of rejection? It's a very painful thing that if I will choose not to come close to you, you make me think there's something wrong with me. Right? Okay, let's get into it because I don't want to. So David says, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who can last in this interesting space? Let me first share this disclaimer. I know, Bazalwane, church can be very tricky. And it's not God who made it to be tricky. It's us. Because at the end of the day, church is us. Right? Church is us. The culture of the church is shaped by the quality of our souls. How we are in here will determine what happens around here. Because we come with all of our issues and whatever, and we bring them before, this space can be tricky. I've been around church, I've been exposed to things, and I know church. It doesn't mean church is a bad place. Church is good. It's like a gun on its own. it has no issues. It depends on who is using it, who owns it. Right? It's like a car. Depends on who's driving it. Are we here, Bazalwan? Yes. So let's go. Number one, David says, who may dwell? Who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide? Maybe let me start with the first principle and say, one thing that will help you to survive and to connect well in a local church, long term that is to remain committed to the vision and the mandate of the church primarily. That's the main reason we are here. To partner with God so that the vision can be fulfilled. We cannot be overly obsessed with our relationships with one another at the expense of the vision. The beginning of problems is when we honor each other, love each other more than the main reason why we are here. Now it's mainly about me and Tando. Yeah. It's like our relationship matters. It does not matter what we destroy along the way. Yeah. We will do whatever it takes to. And here's the saddest thing. Sometimes we've never met before. We met here at church. God brought us together and we met, and all of a sudden, our relationship now matters the most, more than the purpose. Why did God bring us here? So that we can be discipled, so that we can be nurtured, so that we can be blessed. Now, we end up in a situation where, right, in Ndebele, I'm Ndebele, Never Zealand. I know there might not be anyone who is in Ndebele. There are two people who are supposed to be in Ndebele here, but I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with them. We must redeem them by the blood of Jesus. And in Ndebele, we have a saying, Eti, ungawadungi amanzi osela kuwo. You know it? We'll talk about it after the service. There will be an That's why there will be an interview first. Ungawadungi amanzi osela kuwo. It simply means, do not spoil. I'm just interpreting it. Do not spoil the waters you are drinking from. Because God brings you to a place so that you can drink from there and be nurtured. So if you find yourself in a relationship that now influences you to spoil the very same waters you are drinking from, then the purpose has been compromised. There's absolutely nothing that you can ever benefit from that. Never. And that comes from the connections we end up developing in the church. Because God brings us for one thing, then we end up being involved in another. We end up specializing in it more than the main one that God has brought us for. And the first advice that I can give us is that let us pause and reflect and ask ourselves, am I still relevant to the purpose that God has brought me here for? Or am I just stingy? A statistic to tick the register every Sunday. Because it's so amazing that we come here. We never met each other before. We know each other here. Now, and let me tell you, in every church, there are always people who think they can pastor this church better. Yeah. And it's born from relationships. Because now, because this one is my friend, I feel like umfundisa ngamtreating ngalendlela mina ebengifisa ngabe umngani wami umtitanga. And you don't know the full context of the dynamics that are involved. I am a pastor for years. My greatest, deepest desire is to see God's people flourish, prosper, grow. There is absolutely no way that I can be a pastor plotting someone else's downfall. That's wickedness. It's witchcraft. It's evil. And for anyone to insinuate that we might be plotting, so I'm just making an example. I'm just being in church for a very long time, so I know these things. If it has got nothing to do with you, just look straight and say, the man of God is fine. Amen. Right? So remain committed to why did God bring you here? So that you can be discipled, so that you can partner with him in this vision and be active in that. Be happy and be joyous in saying, I'm here at Builders Church. I believed, I connected, I'm serving. Yeah. That's the main thing that God has brought me here. I'm in the house of his glory. This is a home for me. This is a place of being refreshed. This is a place of my blessing. Yeah. That's the main theme of, you know, every believer who is a member in the church. If that is no longer in your heart, number two, walk in integrity. Be a person of integrity, even in your relationships that you are going to develop here in church. Make sure that in those relationships you walk in integrity. Because sometimes our friendships become so toxic that we deceive one another. Simply because we are not people of integrity. Integrity simply means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Be an honest believer and make sure that you connect with honest people with strong moral principles. There's something the Bible calls moral courage. Moral courage. Moral courage, when it in Ephesians 4 says, lead a life that is worthy of your calling. And it talks about four different qualities, but one of them is moral courage. Moral courage is when I come and I say to Tando, you know, Goodwill is not a good person. And Tando has nothing against Goodwill. But because I'm the one saying Goodwill is not a good person, he is not courageous enough to say to me, but I don't think so. What makes you say he's a bad person? Because as far as I know him, he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I've never picked up anything like that. And in so doing, number one, you are displaying moral courage. Mm. Two, you are protecting yourself from being influenced by my personal experience with Goodwill that has got nothing to do with you. And you are not trying to spoil a relationship with me. You are simply saying, let's put everything into perspective. I'm not about to respond to that simply because you are not happy about Goodwill. Now I have to be, because this is what I call being hot spotted. Yeah. You are hating somebody, not with your own hatred, but with someone else's hatred. And you, inherited beef. It's like, if you can check within, between the two of you. So be honest and sincere. Don't tell each other things that you think this person wants to hear. And because you want to look and sound right and be this person that now I'm developing this bosom. Because you are building your connection on a shaky foundation. Because the same thing that he is doing, that I am doing to Goodwill through you, it can be vice versa. Anyone who is talking to you about someone else will one day talk about you to someone else. So moral courage says, I'm not about to enter into a conversation that will compromise my moral principles. I'm not here to gossip. I'm here to follow God. Yeah. I'm here to be discipled. I'm here to serve. And I would love to be as neutral as possible. Yeah. I'm talking about church connection. Yeah. That's how we connect in a healthy way. There are people who leave churches, not because something happened to them, but simply because something happened to someone else that they connected with and they were influenced. And this is what I've discovered, which is the strangest thing. And those ones leave, and the other one who influenced them stayed. It's a movie that repeats itself over and over again. That does not shock me. And because of my experience, I can see people who are about to leave from a distance. If they used to sit here, next week they sit here. 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 Then last Sunday they'll be sitting there. Then I know, bye-bye. No, I'm not saying those who are sitting at the back. I'm saying those who used to sit here. And then now they are sitting here. Now they are sitting here. Now they are sitting here. Now they are sitting. I'm like, okay, all right. I've been there. I've seen it quite a number of times. So, and in most cases, if you trace it back, it connects with a conversation that they had with somebody, and that and you're like, wow. And they did not have the guts that if that thing was involving someone or involving me or involving, they did not have the guts to come and ask. Assumptions are very dangerous. I used to be naive when I started being a pastor, when a wife comes and to us and says, I'm not happy in my marriage. My husband did this and my husband did that. And the husband is not there. And then I'm like, hey, you know, hey, we must call this guy. He cannot do this. Every day. Hey, I'm up in arms. By the time the husband comes, oh, wow, their story changes. Because everyone who's telling the side of their story always chooses the parts that will favor them. I was like, wow. So as from that day, I woke up, I said to my wife, until the other party comes, I'm not going to entertain anything that this one has said. And in most cases, some of them, they say, but you must not tell them I said that. I'm like, no, then I'm not going to be part of it. You are setting me up for disaster. So walk in integrity in your church connections. Walk in integrity. Be an honest person. Make sure that you are going to display moral standards or principles in your church connections. Otherwise, they will compromise or they will shorten your stay in a church. Number three, there are godly connections that God is going to expose you to in the church, right? Remember, David puts it this way. He said, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He honors those who fear the Lord. So in other words, there are people that are godly, who are godly, that God is going to expose you to. And when that happens, connect with those people and honor that relationship through integrity. Be honest, be sincere. Honor those relationships, respect them, don't spoil them. Don't be a spoiler. Honor those relationships, love those people, even though they might maybe be different from you or whatever, but if you pick up godliness in them, that they fear the Lord, those are the people you need to connect to in the church, closely that is. And those are the people you can break bread with and you can visit each other because even your conversations are healthy. You're talking Jesus, you're talking vision, you're talking, you know, progress and how can we sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron in as far as church is concerned. How can we serve better? How can we become better members? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Not to always share meals over politics. Yeah. That's not healthy. That's not a healthy connection. It is going to shorten your stay at Builders Church. Bazalan, I'm not saying these things because there's anything that has happened. Believe you me, I prepare these messages according to how the Lord and the Bible directs me. So if it touches you, I'm sorry. It was never my intention. But if it does not touch you, I'm just giving you weapons so that you can know how to handle things when they happen. So identify people who are, you realize, man, Tando and Tabile, these are great people, man. They love God. They love the church. They're focusing on the good things. You know what? There's a good thing going on here. And each time we're sitting with them, man, I feel so so encouraged. I feel so charged up. I feel like I can follow God more. I feel like, you know, I can pray more. I feel like I can, you know, love my wife better. You know, I just become a better person. But then, flip side of it, David puts it this way. He said, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. So it means if I find godly people, I connect with them, I build a relationship. But if I realize that, Each time I walk away from this person, I feel more carnal. I feel more confused about my membership and stay at this church. I feel like I'm pulling away from God. In other words, it does not mean hate them. It does not mean talk bad about them. It does not mean I'm now going to, I've interacted with Tati, I'm picking up that, hey, she's got issues. Now when I come to Tando, whom I have a good relationship with, and I'm like, hey, Tati, now what am I doing? I'm beginning to spoil our relationship. Because now he will look for a story to tell next week. He will want to share about his own experience with someone else or with Tati or whatever the case may be. So in other words, all that it signals to me is that I must be careful here when I connect. I must be careful about what I talk about, what topics do I raise. I must be the first to say, Jesus is good. When I meet you, I'm like, Jesus is so good. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm not giving you room for any other thing to talk about, and let's keep it there, and then let's go home. It does not mean we are going to have coffee together, we're going to spend time together, because it might lead to something unhealthy. I must be honest with myself to realize that my relationship with Tati is not healthy. So if I spend time more with her, it does not mean I will ignore her completely, because that's impossible. We are in the same church. But it simply means I'm going to minimize my interactions until she also realizes, by God's grace, when she walks, to say, man, I need to change my ways. And the next time I interact, I sense a different spirit. Then we can build. Because I don't want to compromise my stay and be in a church and be unhappy. And be full of praise. We are worshiping. Hallelujah. What's the song? Here's my worship. And the presence of God is here. And in my mind, I'm like, look at that one. I wonder, why didn't the pastor sit here in the front today? Probably he has a problem with time. He decided to go and say, no, it has got nothing to do. I just wanted to sit there. That's all. That's all. There's nothing attached to it. Focus on Jesus. Just focus on the cross. Oh, no, maybe he has an issue with Ulungi. You know, he has never sat next to Ulungi. Hey, he saw Ulungi and went, no. Swada. You know, just focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Minimize interactions. I'm sharpening us. Because church relationships, I said when I started, they can make or break your walk with God. You can find yourself being a vagabond because of a relationship that went wrong. Yeah. You know what a vagabond is? Do you know what happened to Cain? Cain killed his brother. Right? Remember what happened to him? When God passed the judgment to him, the Bible says he became a vagabond. To become a wanderer. Stranded, no stability, nothing. He kept on wandering. And he said, my punishment is great. Then it means I will meet something and die. And God said, no, you are not about it. You are just going to keep on wandering. Not a painful thing. No purpose, nothing. You are just wandering. There's nothing solid that you are established. I've seen those in church. What people are just wandering, and you are wandering. Because they are wondering also. And we are also wondering, I wonder, where is this going to end up? There are no establishment whatsoever. You see. So we have got to make sure that we connect in a much more healthy way. Bazalwane. And number, I said we are not, we avoid ungodly connections. That's number 4, right? Ne? 3. Yeah, no. Honor godly connections. That's number 3. Number 1 is remain committed. Number 2, walk in integrity. Number 3, honor godly connections. Number 4, avoid ungodly connections. Right? Number 5, which is the last one, have a good relationship with money. Hey. That's the last one.
See, church does not become nice if you don't have a good relationship with money. Church becomes awkward because money pops up every now and then at church. Money, the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. If your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. You cannot worship God and worship money. Money is a defense, it says. Money answers all things, it says. But here's what I've learned in church. When it comes to money, a person, no matter how much they told you they loved you and you felt cozy and lovey-dovey with each other, and you ended up borrowing each other money, and the transaction was one way. As your pastor, I've said this before. I've said it again. I'm going to repeat it today. As your pastor, I'm advising you not to borrow any Christian money. The member of this church who is not your best friend that you grew up with, your best friend in life, you just met here. You just feel good because you are sitting in the same connect group. Then all of a sudden you take it to the next level. You borrow each other cars, money. Please, let me warn you in advance. If something happens, don't come to me. I was not there when you were doing that transaction. I was not there when you agreed. At least today I was here when I was advising you not to. And if you decide to do something else with that situation, when something happens, don't call me. Call your lawyer or something. Don't call me. I'm not a machonisa. I'm a pastor. Right? I've said it before. I'm going to repeat it again. I will never, as your pastor, come and borrow anything from you. Two, I will never come and ask for anything from you. I will never come and say, I have friends, Bazalwan. If I am stranded, I need money in my life, and I've tried everything. I've finished my money for whatever reason, you know, which does not normally happen. The only person who makes me finish my money is my wife. My wife will make me buy things that I don't want, and she insists, you must have it, you must buy it, and then, you know, that's the kind of life I'm living. Pray for me. Hi. No, but she helps me because, you know, I forget about myself. She's the only one who reminds me that, dude, go and buy clothes. They are not important. Jesus is. But anyway, if that happens in my life for whatever reason, God taught me a long time ago to build relationships. I always tell you, I have friends I can borrow money from. Yeah. In fact, my friends don't borrow me money because they don't mind even if I don't pay. My friends, when I give them money, I don't expect it back. Yeah, and I'm not talking about 500 rands. I'm not talking about 500 rands. Me, my kind of friends are those friends who will say, "Ngikunikeza 20k lapho ngizobona ukuthi hlanganisa kanjani." I'm like, okay, sure, let's ngifaka kuyiphi account. Says no, use FNB, I transfer. I don't even look at it. My wife knows that there are those kind of friends in my life, and they are not five, they are not three, they are two. Because can you imagine if I have to borrow five different friends? This one is asking, so the only people I can borrow money in my life, that kind of, are two. In fact, they don't always do it. If you are a friend of a broke friend who is always asking money from you, you are in trouble, my friend. Change the status of that relationship. You cannot be having a friend who is borrowing money every month. They borrow on the first, payback on the 15th, borrow again on the first, payback on the 15th, borrow again on the first. It's almost like all the time when they are in trouble, the only person they think about is you. As a matter of fact, when am I going to benefit from you? When? So maintain, have a good relationship with money. Make sure that you handle your finances well.
so that you don't take offense out of financial issues in the church. Because you'll end up, they always, we were registering for this. Now we have to give for that. Now we have to do this. And the problem is not the offering. The problem is how your relationship is with money. In fact, money now has taken the place of God. That anyone who touches that money, they are touching the God in you. Don't, Bazalan, I'm giving you counsel. Don't borrow people money, cars, and all of those things if your relationship is just a church relationship. There are people I know in my life who are pastors. We are friends in ministry. And that relationship stays there. It does not mean you can come knock in my house anytime. No. We are friends when we are in ministry. Industry friends. Yeah. Colleagues. Iphelelaphi emsebenzini. Phelele emsebenzini. My wife does not have to put up with people because I meet many pastors. There are many pastors who come to me for this and that, mentoring this, mentoring that. My wife will be tired of at some point. You know, at this, after so many years of being in the ministry, there are pastors who are coming for mentoring, fathering, and all of those things. And I said to my wife, you see, now we are putting a limit, no more. The others, they are going to be in a different group. These are the ones that will only give material to go and apply. If you have problems with your wife, don't come to us. Find someone else who, because it's tiring. It's exhausting. It's time-consuming. These other ones, when they are having issues, we can sit with them. There are other problems, they take hours to solve. And we have a church, 3 campuses. It will be tiring even for my wife because everywhere I go, she has to show up. This friend is dedicating a building this week. We have to be there. That one is being ordained next week. We have to be there. That one is doing this and we have to be there. So there are very few ministry friends that I can do such things for. Because sometimes I have to spend my money, book hotels, eat in a restaurant, give when I get there. Because if I'm a true friend and you are dedicating a building, I can't come there empty-handed. If you have a best friend, when they come to your party, they don't have a gift. You must question their friendship. Every year, see, for 5 years, you just come to eat meat. You don't even buy a cheap bottle of perfume. It's the thought that counts. Just think about me. Buy just a single rose for 15 rands just to say, my friend, happy birthday. It's not expensive. Don't be friends of parasites. And do not be a parasite yourself. It must be two-way. So, but Bazalan, the bottom line of this is that please try and make sure that you keep things healthy. And we will try our level best to treat you honorable, with integrity, never to take advantage of any of you. And if you feel like whatever it is that you're doing here at church, you are being taken advantage of, please tell us. We will not be offended. We'll apologize, humbly so, and adjust. Because we don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable because of how they are treated. We are leaders, and that's why one of the biblical principles is to walk in righteousness in your authority, your position that you have. Because I know I'm a pastor. This office comes with authority. And I can say anything, and people can just do them. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down. What was David saying? God is the kind of person in my life who can make me do things that I don't want to. So as a pastor, I can make you do things that you don't want to do and use my authority. So I must always be careful not to end up crossing the line and taking advantage of my position or my wife doing the same thing. It's not right because people will end up leaving because it's not good for them to be here because we are not connecting in a healthy manner. Mm-hmm. Let's have a good relationship with money. Let's go back home and make sure that we, just make sure that we, this is a space for life, genuine and sincere life. We are not here to prove to one another how fashion how fashionistas we are. You know, we are not here to. So I've seen in church people getting in debt because they want to nabo be counted as those who are driving big cars in church, those who are traveling, taking holidays, because there are people who are doing all of those things in church. It's uncalled for. It's uncalled for. If someone has bought a car, be happy for them. Don't now go and look. How can I come back? Because you don't know what did they do for them to get that car. You don't know what did they do. So don't put yourself under pressure for nothing. In our lives, we were given cars probably 3 times. And someone who wants to compete with us was going to be in trouble. Because you see us with a new Mercedes-Benz, you thought we bought it. Can somebody give it to us? We are not paying for it. We were once given a car by another pastor that and he paid for our insurance for the whole full year. So in other words, we had a new car, which was beautiful, but it did not impact our financial situation. So now, if you are going to say, the Msipas have bought a car, let's find another one. It's not healthy. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope this has helped somebody. And I pray that if you were in a church, or maybe in this church, you were once taken advantage of, you were once hurt, disappointed, I pray that God will today heal your heart. I pray that God will grant you the grace to walk in forgiveness, to walk in love. I pray that God will help you to let your guard down, because God, I believe, has brought you here for a reason, to plant you in this place as a tree of righteousness. And God wants you to thrive. God wants you to prosper through your stay in this house. God wants to, through this ministry in this house, impact your life, impact your marriage, impact your family, impact your calling, impact your career, help you to become a better Christian, a better follower of Jesus Christ. And God's desire is not for anyone or anything to tamper or interfere with that particular assignment that he has brought you here for. So my prayer is that you may be set free, that you may be delivered, that every kind of church hurt that you have experienced, that you may be healed from it, that fear will leave your heart, that doubt and confusion will leave your mind, that you will be settled, that you will say to yourself, I am going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am going to be established. I'm going to connect in a genuine and in a sincere manner. And I'm going to connect. I'm going to build meaningful relationships. I'm going to honor godly relationships. I'm going to avoid ungodly relationships. I'm not going to walk in bitterness and anger and hatred. I'm not here to hate anyone, but I am here to make sure that I build good relationships for my walk with God in this church and remain committed and remain in that space so that I can last longer. Because for me, a local church says it is a place that God has chosen and appointed for me, that is supposed to groom me, that is supposed to shape me, that is supposed to elevate me, promote me, and make me a better person. Through your membership in a church, God wants to make you wiser. God wants to make you more anointed. God wants to bless you more. God wants to favor you. God wants to expose you to people who are going to show you what God is capable of. God will connect you with people who are experiencing breakthroughs in their lives so that you can learn how to believe God for a breakthrough. When you come to a local church, God is going to bless people next to you, not so that you can compete with them, but so that you can be inspired and so that your faith can be built up to say, if God did it for my brother, for my sister in the same local church, God can do it for me. I know that when the anointing is poured upon the head, it flows down to the beard, it flows down to the skirts. The Bible says, behold how wonderful and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil poured upon the head of Aaron and rolling down to the beard and down to the skirts. And he says, there I command a blessing, life forevermore. And may this blessing never miss you. May this blessing never escape you. For as long as you are planted in this house, may the river flow and begin to impact your life. May you flourish. May you grow. May you expand. May you become become a better believer, a better wife, a better husband, a better Christian, a better businessman, a better worker. May you become that kind of a person who will experience the blessing of the Lord and declare like David, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will abide in the house of the Lord. Father, we thank you that you have brought us into this place for a purpose, oh God. We pray for your covering protection. Protect our minds. Protect our souls. Protect our hearts. Protect our relationships. Father, be involved in every connection and relationship that we establish in this church, because we don't want to miss what you want to do in this place, in our lives, through us, oh God. We don't want to miss it, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. We are asking, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, to forgive us for all of the mistakes that we have done, connecting in an unhealthy manner, connecting for wrong reason. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that, oh Father, you may disconnect us to reconnect us. We pray that, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, you may separate us, oh God, to bring us together again. We pray that, oh God, every hurt, every pain, every rejection, every wound that we have suffered in our walk with you, whether in this church or in any other church, we pray, oh Father, that there may be healing. We pray that there may be restoration. We pray that there may be deliverance. We pray that, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that our hearts will be mended so that we can be planted the way that you want us to be planted. We pray, oh Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, heal hearts in this place. Heal compromised relationships. Father, any door, any place that we have given to the enemy to use against us, we shut it in the name of Jesus. We shut it in the name of Jesus. We shut it in the name of Jesus. Father, we refuse to be here and be miserable. We refuse to be here and wither and die, because that is not why you have brought us here. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, any form of toxicity, expose it in the name of Jesus Christ. Expose it, oh Father. Expose it, oh God, that so that, oh Father, it may be casted out, so that it may be removed. Father, we want to worship you freely, openly. We want to worship you with open hearts. We want to serve you, mighty God, without fear, in the name of Jesus Christ, without doubt, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We honor you, Master. In the glorious, matchless name of Jesus Christ, we give you praise. We love you, Father. In the glorious, matchless name of Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.